Queridos hermanos y hermanas, there's an ancient tale from first century Judaism about two very famous and very different rabbis, Rabbi Hillel and Rabbi Shammai. A potential student approached Shammai, who was a very stern and serious person, and asked if he might become Shammai's student. Shammai looked at him and said, "Go home and learn the 613 commands, and when you have those mastered, come and I'll talk to you." Well, he was a bit discouraged. He went then to Hillel, and Hillel said, "Well." And then the student said, "Now, I would like to learn everything you need to teach me and while I stand on one leg." And Hillel said, "All right, I will teach you this. Love God with all your heart and with all your soul and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. The rest is commentary. Go home and learn something." So it's a wonderful story. And it sets us up, I think, for these readings and for the fact, as I determined in the course of the week, that the word love occurs 9 times in the second reading, and it occurs 9 times in the gospel. So, and one of my idiosyncrasies as I count things, we cannot not think about love on this day with these readings. We don't have to be good, I often say, for God to love us. Because God will love us into goodness if we only allow Him. And I think it's like our own mothers who mysteriously loved each of us from the very first moment after birth, when we were first placed in the arms of our mothers. They fed us. They changed us, they washed us into early childhood, helped us walk, they guided us, corrected us, consoled us, taught us into young adulthood. They taught us to make decisions and choices, good ones, or at least they tried to. We each of us first responded with a smile, I guess, a recognition, and then we quickly learned to say no. And we learn to say, "It's mine," and we learn to say, "Give me," as we fashioned our own individual personalities. We had to do that first, so that when we did say yes, it meant something. And gradually, when we mature, we begin to say, "Not mine, but ours." And we've come full circle and learned the lesson that mothers really want to teach. I once teased my parents, as I probably have said from this location before. I'm the eldest in my family, and I teased my parents that they practiced on me and gradually got good at it until they came to my youngest brother, who's 20 years younger than I am. We were having a drink. I teased them about it, and they admitted it was true, that they had practiced on me and finally discovered what was important and what wasn't, and what to let go and what to insist on in new and special ways. It was a good moment. We start, therefore, by watching others. So I go back to the gospel, and as a matter of fact, to the first verse of the gospel, which I always stumble over every time it's proclaimed. It's a very simple verse. It's simply verse 9, "As the Father loves me, so I love you." And I keep going back to that, asking myself, all right, precisely how did the Father love Jesus? So that I might understand precisely how Jesus indeed loves us. so that I might understand precisely how, in some way, I should love others. Well, it's not always going to be the same right through the whole series, but there's some insight in it. And the more I thought about that first verse, the more I said, well, it seems to me that the Father loved Jesus in seven different ways. First of all, by giving him a body with the senses we enjoy and take for granted, the ability to see and hear, to sing, to love, to appreciate other people. God loved Jesus by giving him a body. God loved Jesus by giving him his own distinctive personality. On the occasion of confirmation, I almost always, certainly often say, do you realize, these young 16, 17-year-old men and women, do you realize there's never been one like you in the history of the whole world ever? With the same parents and personality, opportunities, successes, failures, there's never been one like you in the history of the world? That God loved you into existence, obviously for some kind of person and purpose. So, you know, God loved Jesus by giving him a personality. And God loved Jesus by giving him a distinctive moment in history, unlike any before and after. And loved him with a mission. This is your job in that moment of history. And that was an act of love. And God loved Jesus by giving him colleagues, so that whatever he had to do, he was not to do it alone. And God loved him by giving him an obstacle, a cross, distinctive, his own, as we have our own. And finally, God loved him into victory, but God's victory, not his own. So I think that that's very concrete. It's very unfolding. It's insightful, I think, into the ways in which God loves each of us and the ways in which a mother loves us. It's easy to see how our popular culture sentimentalizes the word love. It just can easily become so equivalent to infatuation that when infatuation isn't present, then forget it. I'm out of here. You know, that kind of thing. Which is why I often think, and I've said again this for 50 years since I began teaching, that maybe a better translation of the biblical word love is care and concern. And the reason I suggest that, there may be another word which I haven't thought of yet, but the reason I suggest it is it's enduring. Care and concern, and it's deliberate, and it's freely given, and it's open to the possibility that it's going to cost something. Dorothy Day would say on occasion, love is a harsh and dreadful thing. And it comes to mind, of course, when we're asked to love long and devotedly in some very difficult situations. I think of some parents out in Brookfield whom I know who have cared for their quadriplegic son for 18 years. At graduation from high school, was swimming and hit the bottom, broke his neck. 18 years they cared for him like a baby. Can be a harsh and dreadful thing. But it's love. And Mother Teresa would go out every morning walking the streets of Calcutta, picking up the dying, and bringing them home and washing them and giving them some kind of comfort. I mean, that's care and concern. It isn't infatuation. Surely not. Deliberate, enduring, sometimes costly. Maybe the love we're talking about is friendship at the deepest level, namely the willingness to sacrifice because one values the person, to lay down one's life, put other persons before ourselves, and that's in the gospel explicitly, and the willingness to be vulnerable and share exactly what we think, our deepest most personal thoughts and values. So the gospel suggests that whatever the love we're talking about is really a kind of profound friendship. Maybe the love we're talking about today really is a mother's love, which would be perfect for the holiday we celebrate today, and a wonderful way of talking about God and us.